Man, fuck it. I'll just do it myself. Fuck it. I'll do it by myself. Man, I ain't asking nobody for shit. Man, I do it alone. I don't need nobody. These are all things that I tell myself quite often. They bounce around in my head daily, almost hourly. And today I was thinking about, why is that? Why do I feel as if I don't need anybody's help or I don't need anybody? A lot of people will say, yo, it's the male ego. That's the male ego talking. I don't necessarily think that's the case when it comes to me, at least. I do have a few theories. I don't think ego is one of them. I'm easily able to kind of put my ego aside, but I won't accept help. Well, first, I won't ask for help. I can be in desperate need of somebody to help me, and I won't ask. I won't ask family for help. I won't ask P. My man, P's like been my best friend my entire life. Known each other for almost 30 years now. Wouldn't ask him for help if I needed help. I won't ask anybody. I won't ask Becky. If somebody sees me in a bad situation and they offer to help me, they solicit their help without me actually asking for it, I'll turn them away. I'll be like, nah, I'm good. I could be like laying in the middle of the road, just got hit by a car. My foot's a block and a half back, so I can't get up and walk. And I need to make it to the hospital. And people are stopping to ask, yo, are you okay? Do you need help? Do you need me to? Nah, I'm good. I got this. This shit happens all the time. Anyway, I'm gonna explore why I think this way.
I got a few screws loose since the days of my youth. It's a few screws loose podcast. I got a few screws loose and I'm telling you the truth. It's a few screws loose podcast. I got a few screws loose, you don't really want proof. It's a few screws loose podcast. I got a few screws loose, why do what I do? It's a few screws loose podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of A Few Screws Loose, the podcast where we have mental health discussions by mentally ill men of color. My name is Dan and I'm your host. You can keep up with me on Twitter and on IG at I Am Dan on Drugs. Keep up with the show on the same social media platforms at Screws Loose Pod. Don't forget also, if you like A Few Screws Loose, check out some of the other podcasts on the Breaks Media Network. Dope collective of black podcasters. And let me tell you, people, these are tremendous people. These are the best podcasters. No, seriously, check out other. We have all kinds of shows that cover all, you name the topic. There's a podcast on the Breaks Media Network about it. So, again, if you want to support black creatives, check it out at the Breaks Media Network. Now, back to my theory, I guess, as to why I will turn help away when I'm in desperate need, or why I won't even reach out, or why, again, I'll hear just bouncing around in my head. Fuck it. I'll do it alone. Fuck it. I'll do it by myself. I don't think, again, it has anything to do with ego or being a man. I think it has, with me, more to do with having a natural distrust for people. And it's really, really hard for me to trust people. I can't think of anybody right now that has 100% of my trust. Like, I'm like, you know, the Lysol bottle. You'll get 99.9%, but I'm going to reserve that 0.1% for when you do, as we like to say, some fuck shit. So I can't think of anybody. P, I've known P for like 30 years almost. And P has 99.9% of my trust. Becky, she has like 90, she a woman, so she got like 99.7, because you know women do women shit sometimes. Nah, but you know, I always reserve just a little bit. I can't just give you full 100% of my trust. I just can't, because I'm distrustful in nature. So I think that has something to do with it. And just throughout my life, especially my childhood, with pops bouncing never really having him in my life to show me how to do any man shit. Never had anyone really to show me how to do anything. So I think because even as a child, I was often alone, often had to do things by myself. That's why, I guess, my mama, who struggled to raise me, single mother, grew up on welfare, food stamps, and Section 8 housing for a while. And she never once asked. I never saw her ask anybody for help. I never saw her ask anybody for anything. She would figure it out. And I think maybe, I guess, just by osmosis, maybe, you know, that kind of spilled over into me, because I never saw my mother, the only parent that I knew or the only guardian that I knew, do it. And, you know, so, yeah, I mean, that's, especially at a young age, that's where you learn. You learn a lot just watching your parents. So with that, it's just like I've always had to do things by myself. And I've never been comfortable asking anybody for anything. And then you have another aspect is I don't want to feel like I owe you anything. Even though, yeah, that's not how it works, especially among friends and family. Well, it's not how it should work, is you owe me one because I did something for you. I still feel like that. I feel like if I ask you for help or if I accept your help, you're going to want me to do something for you in the future that I may not want to do, but I'm going to feel obligated to do it because you helped me that one time, you know? And I have seen that from people who are not friends and people, you know, I've seen. And what they want in return is usually not equal to the help they gave you. It's like, yo, bro, can you help me move this box to the other side of the room? Sure. And then 6 months later, Dan, yo, man, can you help me pay my rent this month? What? Man, don't forget I helped you move that box, though, man. Like, you know, shit like that. And of course, that should never be the case. But I think I just feel naturally that if I accept something from you, you're going to want something in return. And I don't like to owe anybody anything. And, you know, I talked about that in previous episodes, too. So with those things, I think they kind of steer how I look at help and how I look at asking for help. There's been a lot of times where, like, even thinking right now off the top of my head on how, well, certain times where that, fuck it, I'll do it alone or I'll do it by myself. We have a couch, for instance, weighs like 250 to 300 pounds. It's big, heavy ass reclining sofa. I remember when we were moving and our movers canceled on us because of the weather or something like that. We had to be out that day regardless because that was the last day we could technically be there. And I guess for anybody listening, schedule your movers a couple days before your last day. But no. So I'm like, man, fuck it. I'll move this couch myself. So Becky's like, why don't you call so-and-so, or why don't you? Nah, man, fuck it. I got it. I'm gonna move this 300-pound couch myself. I've been in that situation so many times where whatever it is I'm trying to do, it needs more than one person to do. And I will not call anyone and ask them, yo, can you help me with this? I will figure it out one way or another. And I might spend more time trying to figure it out and get it done by myself than it would have actually taken for me to reach out, get someone to come help, and whatever. I don't care. I'm still going to kind of do, or for the most part, do everything by myself. So I think that's, you know, those reasons right there kind of sum up why I don't reach out for help. You know, the feeling of owing someone, not seeing my mother, who really struggled when with me or just growing up. Never saw her reach out for any help. Never saw her ask for help. Never saw her complain. And she was dealt a pretty shitty hand. So that, and just not trusting people. I think that's why I have such a hard time with it. Now, while I was trying to piece that together, something else came to mind, which is a lot of people ask me how I'm so good at so many different things that aren't really directly related. Things that come to mind, like music, for instance, working on cars, technology, my day job, basically, photography, just So there's so many different things that I'm proficient at. I'm not really great at any of these things, but I'm good enough. I'm good enough at most of them. So, for instance, I do all the car repairs, and like for the past 20 years, basically, I've been doing all of the auto repairs, my car, my mama's car, Becky's car, Ann's car, other people, P, his cars when we were growing up. Home improvement, I do a lot of home improvement stuff. Music, so the music was, I knew how to play piano. That was something that was free that my mama signed me up for. She signed me up for damn near anything she could, only to use it as a babysitter so she didn't have to pay a babysitter. So initially, my piano lessons were just because I needed somewhere to be with an adult while my mother was still at work. So yeah, that carried on for a little while. But I got like every teenage nigga wanted to be a rapper. At 15 years old, 16 years old, we weren't as interconnected as everyone is now on the internet. I didn't know where the fuck to go get beats from. Like, what am I going to pick up the phone and call Puffy? Like, yo, Puff, I need some beats so I could become a rapper. So, no, I had to learn how to make them myself. And yeah, like 20 years ago, this was even before I know niggas using FL Studio now or whatever Logic, whatever software they're using. I ain't had no software. I had just a regular ass keyboard that had a sequencer built in. So I made it work for what I needed. So that's how I came to start making beats, is I wanted to be a rapper. I needed beats to rap, and I learned how to make beats. It took me years to learn how to make decent beats. So then I realized I was a better beat maker than I was rapper. So I just stopped rapping. And plus, I'm one of the people that believe if you're not a big name artist or even a somewhat notable artist where people know you and know your work, there's a certain age where it's not cool to be that nigga that says, here, check out my SoundCloud link or check out my mixtape, check out. Nah. So but the cool thing is you can be 50 and still make beats or still make music and still do whatever. But that's how that came about. So that was a more or less a fuck it, I'll do it by myself situation. Photography, I never really had much interest in photography growing up. It never crossed my mind that I would become a photographer. I still to this day don't know why I picked up a camera. So I started doing photography in 2005 or 2006, whenever the Rebel X, that might have been it. I don't know, one of the earlier Canon Rebels. I got one of those just on a whim. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know anything about aperture. I didn't know anything about shutter speed. Didn't know anything about anything. Lenses, f-stops, ISO, like none of that. And it took about a year and a half. And next thing you know, people are like, yo, like in my house right now, every photo that's hanging up, I took. But it got to a point where people would see like pictures even back then and be like, yo, this is dope. Yo, where'd you get this? Like, I took it. You took that? Yeah. Man, you ain't take that. What? Like that type of shit. So I was like, damn, must be pretty good, because people wanted to hire me to do stuff. And that's when I learned that, yo, I ain't doing no fucking events. Fuck you and your wedding. Fuck you and your graduation. Like, nah, but I'll do some portraits. So I did that for a while. Portrait photography. Auto mechanic, same thing. Taught myself. And this was before YouTube, before the internet. A lot of people back then would point to, oh, your father's a auto mechanic, so naturally he taught you. Nah. He ain't teach me shit. Just like my mother, she is an IT professional. She didn't teach me shit either as far as computers go. This is all stuff that I learned on my own, picked up on my own, and decided what I liked, what I didn't like. I started building websites in the early 2000s, and when it was just basic HTML, and some of them were all right, most of them, eh. But I didn't like it. I didn't like the coding. This was before the drag and drop shit. So you actually had to code all the HTML stuff by hand. Didn't really like it. So I was just like, eh, fuck it. Don't really, there's nothing I want to do with that. But still to this day, from time to time, that little window that I built websites, it is still, I still use it to this day. And I'll use it when I need to figure some shit out at work. And I'm sitting here looking at code. And I know a lot of people don't use basic HTML anymore, but I can still look at certain things and like, okay. Same thing with building the show's websites, the Black Law and A Few Screws Loose, even though they're WordPress sites. I was still able to go in and change a bunch of shit. And, you know, so everything that I learned on my own. I had very little direction, very little guidance. I pick up what I need to pick up, I guess, or what I like, and I'll run with it. And then I'll put it down and move on to the next thing. So funny thing here I'm gonna close with is growing up, not having a male in the household or whatever, I didn't have anybody teach me about two of the most important things growing up in my neighborhood, at least. One, sex. Two, fighting. And they go hand in hand, sex and fighting. You know what I'm saying? They're like twins in my neighborhood. So I had no one to talk to about sex. No one, even the people my age, they ain't know shit about sex either. Like, what the fuck a little 12, 13 year old boy going to teach another 12, 13 year old boy about sex? And then, you know, again, no computers. We didn't have Pornhub and whatever. So figuring out sex was awkward. That's one of the, I guess, just one way to sum it up. It was awkward as fuck because I didn't know about it. None of the homies knew about it. Even the girls we were trying to fuck, they didn't know nothing about sex. So yeah, that was an interesting period trying to figure it out. And fighting, I never had anyone teach me legit how to fight. And that's, believe it or not, why I started boxing. It's because, yo, I didn't know how to fight. And it's you go out here, sure, you just try to hurt someone, sure. You try to knock someone out, try to knock their teeth out their mouth and fracture their skull. Yeah. But there's a method too. You know, you can't just go out there swinging like a fucking caveman. Well, you can, but nah, I wanted to know technique. So I taught myself as much as I could. And then we started training. P2 started training with professional fighters and trainers and things of that nature. So, shout to Rock back in D.C. He used to be a trainer, passed away. Rest in peace. But yeah, he used to be a trainer in D.C., trained a couple world champions. And basically P and my knowledge that we had in boxing came from him. But yeah, I didn't have like big brothers to teach me how to do any of this shit. I didn't have big homies like, you know, the older kids in the neighborhood. I had older cousins, I really wasn't acquainted with them, so to speak. So it's not like I could even reach out to them. So these things, again, had to teach myself, and learning how to fight and learning how to fuck by yourself with no one to guide you, really fucking interesting. It's probably why I don't ask for help today, though, because when you think about it, if I learned how to fuck without no one's help and I learned how to fight without no one's help, fuck, I need y'all for. Anyway, yeah, that's, I guess, just sum it up. We're going to drop it right there. This has been another episode of the most consistently inconsistent podcast, A Few Screws Loose. Keep up with us on social media at Screws Loose Pod. And you can keep up with me on Twitter and on IG at I Am Dan on Drugs. Until next time, people. Peace.